Today, we're talking about foster care. Back in 2007, there were just over 1,000 children in foster care in Jackson County, Missouri. By 2012, that number was over 1,600. Now there are 1,965 children in need of foster care and only 294 licensed homes available. What accounts for that astonishing increase of need in our area, and how is the community accommodating and caring for children, or failing to, who find themselves suddenly or tragically needing a home? Joining us today in our studio is Denise Cross. She's the president and CEO of Cornerstones of Care. Denise, welcome.
Thank you.
Cornerstones of Care, of course, is a nonprofit that does a lot of work with state agencies to find and train foster families, as well as many other programs. We're really glad you're here. Help us get some understanding of this situation. What do those numbers mean when we say there's 1,900 children in need of foster care and only less than 300 licensed homes?
Sure, Brian. What that means is that we have a number of children in our community who are unable to stay in their homes because it's not safe. And it's not safe either because they've been abused or neglected or maybe abandoned by the very people who are entrusted to care for them. And so we've seen a rise, particularly in Jackson County, of children coming into care. Some of that is a factor of economic issues, as we see families who are stressed, who your previous guest was talking about trauma,
right.
Those who have experienced trauma. Maybe they're displaced because of lack of job availability or other supports that families need. So families that are in stress, then we result many times in children not being safe or being able to stay in their homes.
So how is it then if there's only 300 homes licensed to take foster children, but there are 1,900 children in need? How is that working? Where are those kids?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that in 2013, Cornerstones of Care, our Healthy Families program, was awarded a contract with the state of Missouri to actually recruit and train license and support foster and adoptive homes. The very purpose was to increase that number. So since that time, we've created 386 new homes in Jackson County, and for a total now, as of February 2015, of 671 homes.
Oh, okay.
So those
numbers are already getting a lot better.
Right. We're actually seeing an increase, which is great, but we still know that there are more children who need help. So we also then have been working in a 30-county area to do the same work for other communities.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that work and kind of how that works. What is foster care exactly? When someone agrees to be a foster parent, what are they committing to? Is it for a few days? Is it for a month, a year? What goes into taking on that responsibility?
Right. This really is a great responsibility for individuals and families to open their hearts and homes to children who have suffered severe trauma and unimaginable circumstances. So we're asking them to be available for a child who seems to be compatible with that home and could be there for a period of time. Sometimes that may be for a few months. Sometimes that may be for a year. But we always try to look for a variety of homes and individuals who can open their hearts and homes for our children who have a variety of needs.
I know that Cornerstones of Care has many programs in many areas, actually, but this Healthy Families program focuses on foster care and on adoption. How do you go about seeking out these foster families?
Sure. We do several things. We hold education and orientation events in the community. Many of our homes come from referrals, so someone may have a family member who was a foster home placement or an adoptive home. So we get through referrals, through education, through awareness, through shows like this where we can express the need. And we do that with other partners as well, other organizations who serve children and families who might have a connection, churches, community groups. We rely on all of those sources to help us identify families and individuals who are willing and able to open their hearts and homes.
Well, I know that many people have, in fact, opened their hearts and homes. I want to invite our listeners, if you've ever been a foster parent or maybe you were even in foster care yourself at some earlier point in your life, we'd love to hear your story or what that experience has been like for you. What's been the impact on you and on your family, especially if you've you've tried this, if you've been a foster parent, call us or email us. You can email UpToDate at kcur.org. Our phone number is 816-235-2888. So once you've recruited someone to be at least interested, to go through some orientation or to explore what it's about, what kind of training is required to be a foster family?
Sure. The training is pretty intense. It's around 27 hours of training to become licensed. And that is, the training is conducted through lectures, through seminars, through peer support groups. And it really is to help the individual or family to understand the needs of the children who are may be placed in their home, to understand the impact that having that child in their home may have on their family structure and dynamics, understanding the trauma that, that youth have experienced, and then to understand the resources and supports that are available. So that's the training component of the licensing process.
How much time does it take?
Usually for the entire process from original orientation, initial orientation to licensure is around 90 to 120 days, depending on the time commitment that individuals are able to make. And it is a pretty thorough process to make sure that we have the variety of folks in our community to help serve our kids.
You must have to do some sort of assessment or screening. I mean, not everyone who wants to do this can do this.
That's right. There is an orientation. There's an initial visit with one of our family development specialists. We do require by law background checks, but mostly it's around does the individual and do their family really understand what it means to take a child into their home and provide them a safe, loving environment, a child who has had many hardships and experiences that may not be clear to us mm-hmm. if we have not had that same experience. So it really is to making sure that it's a good fit for that family to open their homes and be a part of the foster care safety net.
Does a family have to be at a certain income level? I mean, I would think it becomes very expensive to take on extra children or any child into your home.
There's not an income requirement, but there obviously is a part of assessing the willingness and ability for that family to care for a child that those are things that would be taken into consideration. We also look for relatives and other acquaintances of children because those are folks who already have a relationship with a child. Mm-hmm. And so it's sometimes that's a natural course to take for once a child comes into care.
816-235-2888 is the number you to call if you have a question about foster care in the Kansas City area or if you have a story to share yourself. You can also point your stories toward us on Twitter. We're at KCUR up to date. Let's talk to Liz in Prairie Village. Liz, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm wondering why there's not more collaboration between the states of Kansas and Missouri. I'm a licensed foster care parent in Kansas and living in Prairie Village. I'm just minutes from state line, and my home is currently empty. I could be taking two kids, but there are no children available where I live.
Well, that's a great question, Liz. Thank you for calling. It is a fair question. When we live in a bi-state area like this, is there collaboration across the state line?
There is collaboration. Obviously, there are some state regulations and laws that are different between Kansas and Missouri. Sometimes the requirements may look a little bit different. But one of the things that we try to do through our Healthy Families programs is make resources available to our children throughout the greater community so that they can take advantage of those. To link our foster and adoptive homes to other foster and adoptive places, placements so that they can support each other and network and learn from each other regardless of where they live in the state line. But there are some just differences between the regulatory sides of the states.
Liz, are you still with us?
Yes.
I'm curious, in your experience on the Kansas side of the state line, how often are you placed with, are children placed in your home? Have you had some?
No. I'm a new foster parent. I've only been licensed for about 6 weeks, but I'm on a Facebook group with other parents in both Jackson County and Johnson County, and the Jackson County folks talk about getting placement immediately, within days of licensing, and, for me, like I said, it's been a number of weeks.
I appreciate your sharing your experience, Liz, and thanks for volunteering to do that for the community.
Thank you.
I am curious. One of the realities is that there's going to be a heavier need in some counties than others. And of course, maybe there's going to be more potential foster parents available, not necessarily in the same counties.
Right. And that's one of the things that we've been trying to address in this 30-county area, is really understanding what the needs are of each community so we can create the resources that we feel are needed, given the population of children that are in care.
So you could place students who are children who are removed from homes, say, in Jackson County, out in more rural counties in the state of Missouri.
That isn't our preference, and that would be kind of the last resort. We want to keep children in their communities, in their neighborhoods, so they can stay in their school with their friends, and provide them the supports that they need in their own community. But each community has their own needs, and that's why we try to target the recruitment efforts, the training efforts, dependent on the needs of each community.
I'm curious how much effort you're able to make, considering the numbers we're talking about, to sort of match kids with situations that are similar, maybe culturally similar or geographically similar to the ones they've come from.
I think it's something that we are getting better at as we can increase the pool of foster homes that are available, and as we continue to identify other relatives or kinship that might be available to care for their children or care for our children. So we're always looking to try to make the first placement the right placement so that that child can stay there and be successful, and that that parent can be successful with that child.
Are there certain kinds of families that you prefer? For example, do two-parent families have priority over single-parent families for providing foster care?
They do not. The main criteria is that individual or that family able and willing to open their hearts and homes and be a placement for that child. So our children are very diverse, and so our foster parents and our foster homes are very diverse.
Marital status, sexual orientation?
There's no requirement or priority around that.
And does a person have to be a parent already? Do they have to have parenting experience?
No, they don't. But they have to be willing to go through the training and have the supports that they need. If they haven't had parenting experience, then, again, we might wrap other supports around that individual to make sure that they can be successful in their role as a foster parent.
Let's talk to Brandon in Blue Springs. He called us at 816-235-2888, and you can call us too, 235-2888. Brandon, welcome to Up to Date.
How's it going? I've got a question. I've been listening, and you said there's around 300 or so foster homes around this area.
That number
is... I would just like to know...
Yeah, our guest said that number's actually increased some since those numbers came out, and that's good news, but go ahead, Brandon.
Okay, I would just like to know, do taxes, do they regulate those homes, or is it all through charities? I'd just like to know why there's so little with all the amount of children that are in foster care.
Good question.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and part of it, I think, is just the time commitment. I mean, it is a big responsibility to bring a child into your home and care for them, to work with others who are in working with that child to help them overcome their trauma and to find a permanent, safe home for them for their future. And so that's a big job, and that's a lot of responsibility. The homes are licensed. They have to meet certain requirements. They are regulated and periodically reviewed, and that's all under state and federal guidelines. And they do receive some financial support to help with the cost of caring for the children, but it's pretty minimal basic needs to cover while the child is in their home.
So you're not going to get rich being a foster parent.
No.
On the contrary, you're probably going to have to be prepared to spend some money.
Right.
Yeah. I imagine that's a significant issue in who can do this.
Well, I think, again, it goes back to many times it's families who have known a child, mm-hmm. or had a relationship with a child, or see the need within our community, they're stepping up. And those are all kinds of folks from all across our community, and we need more of those folks. And And so if anyone's interested, we would welcome that they can call us at our toll-free number is 855-778-5437. That's 855-SERVE-KIDS, S-R-V-KIDS. Or you can go to our website, servekids@cornerstonesofcare.org.
And we will definitely link to those on our website, which is kcur.org, when we post this show online later today. And we'll give those numbers again before the end of the show. How involved is the Healthy Families Project in or program in the assessment process once this goes along? I think a lot of parents might think to themselves, "Okay, I'll sign up for this, but who's gonna support me once I've got the kid here, and I don't know what I feel like I don't know how to take care of this kid."
Sure. So our family support specialist or family development specialist actually work with the family through the licensing process. So through the training process, the home study, the background screenings and everything, and actually through the placement process. And then that individual is there to help support that family throughout the time that they are licensed as a foster or adoptive home. So they meet with them, conduct monthly check-ins. They meet with them quarterly. They help them problem solve, provide other resources. They really are kind of a support to ensure that that family can be successful in their role and that the children in their home can be successful. So they have someone with them walking side by side with them through the entire process.
We're talking today about foster care, especially here in Jackson County, but really about foster care in general with Denise Cross. She's president and CEO of Cornerstones of Care. This is Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. Let's talk to Patty in Kansas City, Missouri. Patty, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I am 68, and I have a bad back, but I'm home all the time. I've got an extra bedroom, and am I too old to be a foster parent?
Patty, we would love to talk with you about your interest in becoming a foster parent. So I would really encourage you to go to our website or give us a call, and let's begin a conversation and see if there's an opportunity for us to work together.
All right. What's the number?
Well, go ahead and give that number one more time.
Sure. It's 855-778-5437.
Thanks so much for calling, Patty.
Thank you.
Let's also talk to Darla. She's calling us from up in Cameron, Missouri. Good morning, Darla.
Good morning, Brian. I just wanted to say that I've recently become a licensed foster and adoption home, and the training program that I went through was absolutely wonderful. My caseworker who does my quarterly visits, very, very supportive. My situation was a little bit different as I actually have a granddaughter who came to me through foster care from another state, and I went through Missouri Baptist Children's, which is a little bit separate organization from the Cornerstones, but the training is wonderful. I've stayed in contact with the people that I went through the STARS training with, and the support system is absolutely wonderful, and I would strongly recommend it for anybody who has the room in their home and their heart to bring these children in, because there certainly is a need for it.
Well, Darla, thanks so much, and thank you for stepping up to be a foster parent yourself.
Thank you.
Do you worry about the future of foster care in Missouri when you look at the situation, Denise, or are you hopeful about the future right now?
I am hopeful because people like Darla have stepped up, and others have shown their interest in really helping give our children a safe, loving home. And so I see that happen every day. We hear stories about that every day, so I'm hopeful. I think, you know, as we go into April, which is Child Abuse Prevention Month, that there's much that we can do as a community.
And there's an event coming up this week, right?
Right. On April 2nd, we'll actually have an event at Cornerstones of Care at our office, and we have Jackson County Prosecutor Gene Peters-Baker, who will be there to talk about this issue of abuse in our community, but also what we can do as individuals and as a community to recognize the signs early, to invest in prevention programs that help our parents be better parents and that help our children be stronger and healthy kids. So we would invite anyone who's interested to join us at 11 o'clock on April 2nd, and you can find out more about that on our website. But really, that if we can do more to support our families up front, then hopefully we will see less of a need for foster care in general.
That's Denise Cross. She's the president and CEO of Cornerstones of Care. Their website's cornerstonesofcare.org, and you can find more information there. We'll also have links to the website as well as those phone numbers that Denise gave earlier in the program if you're interested in more information on foster care here in Jackson County or really throughout Missouri. Thank you so much for being with us today, Denise.
Thank you. It's been an honor.